Hi, I'm Paul Camillos from Shooting the Breeze podcast. Join the STB crew for conversations and stories around women's hoops and women in hoops, inspiring players, amazing coaches, and the legends behind the scenes. It's our seventh season. Drop us a like and review, and make sure to subscribe for early access and other bonus content.
You never know what a season or a team's going to be like when you've never been there before. So it was really, special to not only the way that we like connected on and off the court, but then to finish it off with the championship. Like Paul said, no one really expected that game to go that way. But I mean, I don't think anyone really expected our season to end that way.
Welcome to Shooting the Breeze. I'm Paul Camillos, and joining me for our first pod for 2025 is our New Zealand specialist, Lyndon Moore. And we're talking with a member of the newly crowned Tauihi League champions, the Tauranga Whai, Lara McSpadden. No stranger to racking up those chips. In addition to that stunning win over the Tokomanawa Queens, Lara's also got two WNBL championships with the Sydney Flames and the Townsville Fire, as well as an NBL One North championship with the Rockhampton Cyclones. But it's a new year, and so it's a great time for us to check in and find out what's been happening with Lyndon.
Well, happy 2025. I can't believe we're already here already.
I know.
Yeah, getting to kick off, and especially here with you, Spads. just celebrating New Year pretty low-key. Finally got my PhD in right before Christmas, so that was my Christmas present to myself.
Awesome.
Day after the finals, so
two days.
I will not forget. and then chilling, having fun with family, seeing some old friends back home for the holidays. So yeah, all good.
Cool. Thanks. And Lara, it's great to have you on the show. And before we get into it, I just want to say it's really been fantastic watching your progress since our producer Mary and I first got to see you hit the court for the Flames in that championship year 2016-17. And everything you've done since then. So it's great to have you here.
No, thanks for having me, guys. I mean, like you say, I met you guys, like, what are we in 2025? Almost 10 years ago.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah, it is.
So to be here and, still have you guys, like, in my corner, that's really special. So, yeah, I'm really happy to be on the podcast today.
Cool. So, Lyndon, we're talking Tauihi, New Zealand. We're talking about let's be honest, probably what most people would not have expected the outcome of the final to be.
Yeah, that was certainly, probably toward the end, we've seen the past couple of seasons, we're in season three, it gets to the pointy end. This is the first year that we haven't had the same matchup in the final. And it was really cool to see. I mean, it's, again, like, you want to see all five teams at sea, but at the end of the day, it's whoever can get over the line and whoever just has that momentum. And the Whai certainly had it. Credit to the Queens, because they've had, their ups and downs throughout the season. But to come back as strong as they did and make it to the final, and then go all the way to Tauranga for what ended up being quite a game. quite cool to see. Again, welcome, Spads, Tauihi champion.
Thanks, Lyndon.
Just want to say, how does it feel?
Oh, I mean, it feels really cool. You never know what a season or a team's going to be like when you've never been there before. So it was really, special to not only the way that we like connected on and off the court, but then to finish it off with the championship. Like Paul said, no one really expected that game to go that way. But I mean, I don't think anyone really expected our season to end up that way, because like we started 1-5, like we won our first game, then we lost 5 in a row, which was not good. just really a credit to the girls and the staff for sticking with it.
So I did want to ask and touch on that, because I think when we saw the roster come out, a lot of people in those conversations around were saying, the Whai easily final four. I'm not probably going to the final because of who they had. And the setup that you guys have in Tauranga, which is, I think, quite unique. It was who you have is who you have. And you have a lot of development players as well. But they also, you know, let's say they recruit for a certain kind of player, but they also recruit for a certain kind of person. And so you look at the sheet going into the season. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. But then you guys were missing some big factors, you know, from the beginning. And then toward the end, it just kind of all congealed at the right time. Everybody was there. And so through that season, just kind of for those who maybe weren't following along as closely, can you just walk us through what that season looked like?
Okay, so pre-season, one of our vice captains, MC, unwell with illness, couldn't get there until like the first week of the season, and she was still recovering, so she didn't play the first like two or three games. In the first game, 2 minutes in, Morgan breaks her wrist. Did deserve it. She's had a horrible injury run. So we're down two of our like starting five. And by then, again, like it's happened to me before where players in my position have become injured and I've gotten the opportunity to play. So the likes of like Paz Hokianga and Jade Kurosomi and Kaylee Smiler and Eva Langton get more court time. So that's really cool for them. It was a good immediate start. We won our first game by 20 points against the Polkai, but then we lost five in a row, as I said before. We had a really close game against the Queens where we were down by 20 and we brought it back to lose by two. After that seventh game when we had, I think it was Morgan and MC come back at the same time. And it was just like, not that it was night and day, but that like leadership and that experience and that IQ that the older girls have kind of really helped carry us through the rest of the season.
Yeah. Can I ask a question about this? Because this is one of the things I'm curious about with the Rapid League. You start the season, you lose a couple of players, you've got bench players who have to step up to fill those positions in the starting five. Yet you've also got to put players on the floor for the Rapid League. In those few weeks, how did that affect the team? And I don't mean psychologically, but I mean physically, because you know, you're effectively playing two games in a night.
I mean, God, I don't know how like players like Jade and Pally, who played the whole Rapid League game and then would put in big minutes for our Tauihi game. I don't know how they did it. But I mean, at the end of the day, that just made it, honestly just made them better. Like, yeah. And at trainings, you have those trainings where you would do like your starting five versus like the rest of the team, and they would beat us. And I'm like, Wow. Well, shit, like they're doing really well because they're playing the, like, not that it's harder, but like they're playing this Rapid game. And then having to play the Tauihi game. And I think it's a really cool concept, although it was definitely taxing physically because you'd come out of the Rapid game, you'd go straight into our warm-up, and then you'd be the first sub in. I think it was a huge, like, help for us as a whole team. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's definitely, because there's that Rapid League element that came on it. So then we're all putting in extra court time. Like you say, you know, and if some injuries happen, the responsibilities reshuffle a little bit. So then suddenly you're playing Rapid and then you're playing the main game, you know, and I'm sure because by the end, I mean, it's so much fun to watch, but I gotta imagine y'all are so tired by the end of it. And so, you know, to that and enjoying plus the final four where those games are, you know, they can be pretty close. And so, like you just listened through, you guys have been through all that. But something that always stood out to me was the team dynamic and the culture in the locker room. So can you just talk a little bit about your teammates and how that all just kind of worked? Because it just seemed like it all was just a perfect storm, you know, when you were together.
I think what it really came down to was we were just ultra competitive at training and on the court. But then off the court, it was just silly. Like, it was just fun and games the whole time. Nothing was ever, like, too serious. So we had three houses that our imports lived in, people who didn't come from New Zealand. And, like, often we'd have, like, team dinners, and there are a few of us that really were into board games and, like, playing cards, so we'd always be hanging around each other. Going to the beach until like 9 o'clock at night because the sun doesn't set, which is like my dream. So yeah, it was just, Yeah, you've really got to have that balance. But I think we found a lot of respect for one another because, like I said before, we kind of went at it at training and we didn't really care who was in front of us. And then off the court, it was just love. So, yeah.
So it seemed like a perfect balance. I do want to put you out too, because right at the end of the season, there was a very sweet video of you being honored for your graduation. Congratulations again.
Thank you.
To have that family around you, even though you weren't able to go back.
Oh, it was so cool. Like, I remember talking with Alex about going back to Rockhampton for my graduation, and he really wanted me to go, but it just wouldn't work out. We had a game at Dunedin and the flights weren't working, so couldn't do it. And then I didn't know that was happening. Like, I don't know if you could tell, but I was pretty shocked. And then to have like everyone kind of there to support, like our SNC guy Croft came from wherever he lived and just was there to see it. And I was like, oh, guys, so nice. Like, I've never, it was so cool. It really just melted my heart and kind of, I don't know, it made me care more. You know what I mean? Like, when people do those things for you and you're like, oh my God, they care about me for more than what I'm here for. Like, I'm not just a basketball player. Like, this is a huge thing in my life. And the fact that they saw that, like, for what it was to me and they celebrated it, it was really awesome.
Not a surprise, because you have been very highly regarded amongst the FI crew and around the league. And well, I'm going to read something from your coach, because I told him we were doing this and I asked him for a quote, and I guarantee you it's amazing. Yes, it was a real pleasure to coach Laura this season. She was the perfect forward for our system. She allowed us to be aggressive in the pick and roll, and her ability to run the floor was second to none in the league. Laura was also super professional and always showing up early to do some extra work. And she is a high character person, funny, caring, selfless, the ultimate teammate. I honestly can't say enough good things about her. She was our anchor this season for sure.
Wow, that's really nice. thanks, Alex.
Shout out, Alex. Yeah. But you are of that high character person. They can see, really no surprise when you say, you know, they value you, because you also show up and value them. Contributed so much during that. And so, you played a big role, man, because watching you in the final game especially was a lot of fun. I gotta say, when I was like standing, I'm like, Ghost Pat!
I love that.
I'm not to be shy about it anymore.
bias here.
Yeah, just no bias at all, I promise. Even there, everyone's looking at me, I was like, I know. But watching you just come alive and help make that win happen. So was there a point in that game that you guys just kind of knew as a team that, you know, never say never, anything could happen? Was there a point that you guys just kind of knew and were confident that, you know what, this is going to be our time?
I think we went into the game knowing that we had the momentum and that we could beat them. But I mean, just the week before, they were down 20 to the Polokai and then beat them. So at halftime, we were like, guys, we can't have a Polokai situation. Like, we need to keep the foot on the throat and keep going. But yeah, the way that Alex coaches is everyone has the green light and everyone has to do everything with confidence, because he thinks that we're the best in the league, which we are now. But it was probably like at halfway through the third, and going into the fourth, we just need to keep doing what we're doing and we don't need to stress. Like, yeah. I mean, it's hard when you're not playing on your home court. And, like, credit to the Queens. Like, they're a freaking tough team. But I think we could kind of see it in them that they not had given up, but they just didn't look like the team that they had been. Yeah,
it just kind of all breaks down toward the end sometimes.
Yeah.
And who ends up, you know, just shows up best on the day. And honestly, I don't think there was a solid, I couldn't pick either one.
Beginning. Right.
I talked to a lot of people in the stands, of course, you know, they have their home team that they root for, but still, and I don't like both sides. They were just like,
yeah,
anything could happen, but we're just, you know, we're here for the basketball and that, we got a freaking good game out of it.
Yeah, it was fantastic. That was the whole season though, right? Because like you only have five teams and it's really just whoever can pull it together. Like everyone would have said Kahu would have won it. But I mean, yeah. Anyway. <Best champs. laughs> Yeah.
So you've been in that step up in the league. And so Now, Tohe's become, especially now with the season moving and stuff like that, there's actually been a big landing spot for Australians like yourself. And so just curious on your thoughts on what you thought of it and how you think and if your game has grown since joining the league.
For such a young league, I think it was really cool. Like, in terms of the game day experience, it was on par with WNBL and NBL 1. Like, the setup, how it's organized, the schedules, it was quite professional. I mean, even in the WNBL, every organization has their flaw. You have things throughout the week and you're like, why is this happening? But it was really cool. It was a really cool experience. I just wish it was a bit longer and that there were more teams, which is, yeah, it's hard when it's such a young league, but that would be my wish, I guess, for the future. I guess I feel like, I don't know. Okay. I don't want to say that I haven't improved, but I feel like I was more of a facilitator or was able to facilitate more in my team. I learned a lot off Kayla George playing with her at the Sydney Flames. She's a great scorer and a great rebounder, but she can also pass the ball and like get people open. And I learned a lot from her. So I was able to take that experience and put it to use at the Fire. And at the start of the season, I will say this, Alex was a bit hesitant about me dribbling the ball up the floor, but I thought I proved myself. And the media were mocking me, calling me PG Spads. And I was like, well, I can dribble the ball, so yeah. Let me be me.
Yeah, but I mean, look, let's be honest. Everybody in the crowd normally holds their breath when a man is dribbling the ball down the court.
This is true. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I do agree with you. So I felt like I had a point to prove. Yeah, no, it was fun though. It was a good season. I feel like I got more confident in different areas of my game for sure. Yeah.
That's awesome. Zay, well, if you're around and decide to come back next year, there will be a new team from India. So there's going to be one more expansion team. So the wish is slowly coming true. So some new changes. No doubt that, you know, hopefully in the years to come, we'll see more teams. Around the country that'll pop up and, you know, maybe make it a little bit of a longer season. That someone like yourself can hopefully return and, you know, contribute to that. And, you know, no doubt, even the, like, people like Paulus and the DPs on your team were learning a lot from you, but then also, you know, from around the league as well. So, you know, there's just many good things to be had. And so a teammate of yours that you seem to have quite a winning formula with is Morgan Yeager.
Morgy.
can you give us a little bit of insight on that? Because you guys won your third title together?
Third together. So we first played together in Townsville. When was that? Hang on. I have the ring up here. 2022-23 season. We lived together as well, so that was cool. And then 2 years later, this last NBL 1 season, 2024, we were looking for a point guard and Morgan wasn't really doing anything at the time, I guess. And I was just like, Drew, it'd be crazy not to reach out to Morgs, like, may as well give it a shot. And then next minute, she's on the team. I was like, damn, we're going to be good. We lived together there as well, so that was really cool. I guess, like, the play, well, I mean, she's a guard, I'm a big. We're going to interact a lot, like, with how we play, like, screening in defense. So we just have that kind of unspoken, it really is unspoken though, like an unspoken connection. Like, I know exactly what to do when she's in the play and she knows where I want it. And yeah, we do things at training where, like, she'd pass me the ball, I'd pass her back, I'd like roll and she'd throw me this alley-oop and I'd like score and everyone's like, look, and I'm like, yeah, we've done this before for 3 years. This is not the first time we've played together. Yeah, she's really cool. I really respect her as a player. Super smart, takes care of her body. She's had a few serious injuries, so I really like see in how she acts and she takes care of herself. She's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, we had her on the pod when she was with the Flames, and watching her play and her style of play change over time, you can see that she's put a lot of time in, really works on her game a lot. I'm really curious about, you know, you guys in New Zealand, did you have a lot of the younger players in the team kind of looking to you guys for that guidance and an assistance in building their game?
I would say more so Morgs, because I was the only big on my team, essentially. Yeah. So I would chat a lot with Laura and Lena, but again, they're older than me and they have good experience as well. So I feel like that's more relevant to Morgs. But yeah, Morgs she's such a good leader. She would often take Pally under her wing and they'd be like practicing combos and like different ways to get into shots. And yeah, that's definitely a standout part of Morgan's game as well, the way that she can help coach and lead younger people. Yeah, they definitely looked up to her for sure.
That's so cool. It's interesting to see everyone embrace and do that lap after, you guys did it.
Yeah, right.
They liked all the confetti and just kind of, you know, those score memories, I'm sure, you know, just being on the sideline was unforgettable, but I can only imagine from your perspective how that must have felt to go around. But you can just see that everybody was just, it was just one big love for each other, you know, like
it was for sure.
Just all of it and everyone down after. So it was certainly one of those memories that you won't forget. Especially bringing with that franchise too is pretty cool.
Well, yeah, because we have three different families who own or are co-founders of the organization to go around and see like all of them in the crowd as well is like, it's pretty cool. You do it for yourself, but you do it for the people who are supporting you more. That's where it means the most, really, to kind of like give back to them. And then, yeah, getting to share that with them is really cool.
Yeah, just certainly. You just feel that love. I think kind of just all around the stadium. And I say that for the Queens too, like no matter, I think whoever was playing, like you were going to feel that. Each team had that kind of that family camaraderie that was going to show up, but man, it was something else, man. I'm just trying to figure out the words to describe it.
No, it was cool. And like, I couldn't believe how many Queens supporters was there, to be honest. Like,
they do a really nice job, but they showed out.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And like, good on them to come from, where is it? Wellington. Yeah. Damn. Yeah. I was impressed. Just shows how much they're loved as well, which is really cool. It's cool for the league.
Yeah, it certainly is. Yeah, just want to relive that day.
One of the things I am curious about, Spads, is how did you find the fan engagement in New Zealand compared to here in Australia, both WNBL and NBL One?
Apart from post-game, we didn't really do much fan engagement. Like, we would go to schools. We went to a bunch of schools, don't get me wrong, but we didn't have any, like, a fire day or, like, a day where, like, they can come in and watch our session or that sort of thing where it's, like, just us. Like, we had Fire Academy, which is cool, where we run sessions every week for, like, young girls and, like, Ben, one of our development coaches, leads that and then has like a fire player come along each week. Tane also leads that. But yeah, I definitely think there's more room for fan engagement. I mean, it was cool though. Like, it was like at the Flames where, or any WNBL club where like after the game you get like 10 minutes to like mingle and like sign posters and whatever. Yeah, that part was cool. I wish there was more of that sort of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think it differs between the teams.
Oh, absolutely. I can imagine.
Yeah, like there's definitely, and that is a good observation, though. It's bad. It can look a lot different. But
I'm not saying they did a bad job. Like, I don't think they did a bad job. I just think that, yeah, I want to make that clear. I'm not like,
no,
it's a club or anything.
No. It's more a case of, yeah. I think it's one of those things where it's a maturity thing. Let's not forget, I mean, the league's only 3 years old.
Exactly, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, the WNBL is 40 plus.
Yeah.
And so there's been a lot of lessons about how to engage with fans and schools and all sorts of other things. And I'm sure they'll come. You know,
yeah,
I was just curious because I've never heard anybody talking about that side of it in relation to Tauihi, and I was just curious how it's been handled so far.
And keep it in mind, too, because the schedule shifted this year. Import rule, and so there are a lot of other introductory factors, and because the league is in its infancy, not everything can blossom all at once.
Yeah, true.
And so, yeah, no doubt down the line, it's going to be pretty robust. And the thing is, and there's a good foundation there. Like I said, I think that's really unique. They have the Phi Academy, and there's a lot of cool stuff going on down Tauranga that they've got set up to help a ton of the youth, but I think it's also a matter of the fact that we don't always see it. And I will say, like, a shout out to the Phi social media because they do a nice job shooting, like, those videos, like Brad, and you know, so we don't see some of the behind the scenes. You know, he's so busy and the others are so busy, we don't always get to see it. And so hopefully maybe in the future we might get to see more of it, because that is a big part of what you guys do. Turn out, like, just seeing the droves of fans that turned out for you guys in the final, you know, like, there's actually an opportunity to learn off you and you know, get to interact with you more one-on-one.
Yeah, for sure. Shout out to Brad made those videos in like 2 days. He said he didn't sleep till like 3 a.m each morning. He must love it, and they were good. Like, they were so good. But those videos, Alex played them for us on game day for like 3 weeks in a row, because they just got us hyped up. Like, they were so fun.
The way he runs around, he loves it. I can guarantee you he loves it. He said that. He's like, I can't believe my job. He can be more complimentary of you guys, and obviously the product is great.
So good.
It's really good quality stuff. And if anybody hasn't seen it, I highly recommend that they do. It's linked on the Phi Basketball page. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just because, like, and I feel like we don't see a little bit of, like, your personality, because they have you do, like, the mic'd up.
They did. Oh my god. That was such a stitch up. Yeah, anyway.
Moving right along.
Moving on. No, it was fun. Like, I like that sort of stuff, and that's what you want. Like, people want to know you, so you've just got to embrace it. And yeah, it's fun.
Just roll with it.
Yeah.
That's fabulous.
Yeah. So I'm really impressed with the way that the New Zealand League is grown, and especially with this shift. Do you think there's the potential for more Australian players? I mean, look, there's a lot of change going on at the moment, but more Australian players to try out Tauihi, particularly those who are kind of, you know, they're going from a DP position to maybe, you know, bench players where they might try New Zealand for a season or two just to get more floor experience before going back to the WNBL?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that was kind of where I was coming from. I was with the Flames. My role when I was chatting to Guy wanted me to go back to the Flames, but said that my role wouldn't really change, and it didn't kind of go as he thought it would go, just because of a few different things in the team. And he said, look, I've had this coach reach out from New Zealand. I think you should give it a go. Like, it'll be good. And I mean, yeah, it was. You have to be so grateful for any time that you get on the court, because there are players who are, like, running themselves into the ground and not getting anything. So I think it's a great pathway to take. Very professional and a high level of competition. I would recommend it.
Okay, now I've got two final questions. First of all, how many frequent flyer points did Mum and Dad rack up coming over to New Zealand?
Bastards only came once. No, I'm joking. No. Yeah. No, they came for the very first, because we had a Saturday and a Wednesday game. So they came for the first two games.
Yeah.
Morgan's family came twice. Eva Langton's family. I mean, they're from New Zealand, but they would fly from Taranaki. We had a lot of support from our families, which was really cool.
That's really
cool. It's not mine. No, I'm joking.
Yeah.
I did want to actually change the name of travel So you guys played in Tauranga, but then you guys also played in Taupo, I believe.
Yeah.
How was that getting out and playing in a different region, which technically the Whai do represent?
It was cool. Like, I mean, it's always good to kind of get out of your home stadium. It felt like we were never at home for the first half of the season. But, yeah, it keeps things interesting. It was also beautiful to just see. I mean, I've never really spent any time in New Zealand, so just cool to see what else was out there and do some traveling. And, yeah, no, it was awesome.
Okay, and now my last thing here is, earlier on you mentioned that you guys would hang out and play board games and cards. So which is the board game that comes with the Spad's recommendation?
Oh, yes.
There's too many.
Come on, you must have had a favourite.
Oh, I mean our favourite. Okay, so I call it Switzerland. It's a card game.
Right.
But in New Zealand, they call it P's and A's. Presidents and a-holes. Anyway, yeah. yeah, but basically you just have to get rid of your hand the quickest, and then if you win, you get the loser's best two cards, and if you lose, you get the winner's worst two cards. So it's kind of like, if you win, you stay up top, but if you lose, you're like, you're pretty cooked for the next round.
Okay.
But yeah, no, P's and A's. Learn how to play dominoes, which was cool. Bananagrams. I should really make like a list of all of my games that I like.
Like a list of like favorite games from players during their downtime, or just like an itinerary of things that they get you guys are not playing. Just a ton of stuff. I feel like it's one thing from a local size, but then they see it, like how players experience it.
Yeah, for sure. So, especially like, yeah, doing it on the road is cool. You got downtime in your hotel room. It's like, oh, cards. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's fun.
Okay. Spads, it's really been great catching up with you again, having a bit of a chat and sort of talking about all sorts of things. Before we go, you've got something interesting coming up and you're doing starting from Sunday, I believe. Would you like to let the listeners in on what's happening?
So I've been lucky enough to sign a contract in Czech Republic for the rest of the European season. So, awesome. Yeah, I'm very excited for that.
Okay, which club is it?
It's called Trutnov. Don't know if I'm saying that right. Trutnov.
Okay, so we know what we've got to keep an eye out for.
Yeah, yeah. So it's about 2 hours east of Prague. So, yeah, I'm really excited. Very much Eastern Europe.
Well, congratulations, Bads. That is well deserved.
Thanks, guys. Going to be a great opportunity for you.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I can't wait.
Spads, thanks so much for joining us on the show. Best of luck over in the Czech Republic. Can't wait to see how that turns out for you. And we'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me, Paul and Lyndon. Always great to chat, even though I only met Lyndon this year. But yeah, it's been cool.
Thank you for so much longer, Spads.
yeah, no, it's been awesome. Thanks for having me on again, and I appreciate you guys as always.
Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you get our latest pod. And we really appreciate if we could get a like and a review so we can extend the reach to more listeners. And don't forget, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn.